In a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. Welcome one, welcome all. Thank you for tuning in to the Paranormal Patriot. I greatly appreciate it. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez, and again, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to join me in listening to me rant about what in the world is going on in the planet today. So before I begin the show, I want to apologize yet again. If you haven't noticed already, I'm starting to lose my voice. I am sick yet again. This winter, I have been sick more than I have been sick in, I can't even remember. It's just been one continuous sickness. I've got a trip down to Florida in the warmth that I'm hoping is going to blow whatever's out or in my system. It blows it right out of my system. So I come back and I'm ready to go sick-free. So I can talk to you guys and not lose my voice and not cough and not have the Donald Trump sniffles. So I do apologize. I'm going to try and get through this show as quickly as possible because I don't know how long my voice is going to last. But before I begin the show, I want to thank the number of listeners. And there were a number of them. I was pleasantly surprised to see how many people took the time to get a hold of me and say, "Hey, Tom, the last episode, Anything But Civil, was probably your best episode. Great episode." I get one or two of those a week, but this is over almost two dozen people really enjoyed that episode. And I don't know what it was that was different about it, but let me know so I can continue to give you quality information. But thank you to everyone that decided to get a hold of me just to tell me how much they enjoyed that episode. So again, thank you. And don't forget, another way that you can help the show is by simply sharing it. Now, I know Brandon, one of my listeners, I believe he's from Cadillac, Michigan. Brandon, he shared the show on Minds.com. Thank you, Brandon. Andy from Texas is all over Twitter with the show. Danielle, I know she talks about the show. Richard Knox, what do I need to say about Richard? He's always talking about the show, always giving me show ideas. Pat, Teresa, and Chris, all of you interact with me. All of you share the show. All of you comment, like the Facebook posts, the Minds posts, the comments on Twitter. Thank you so much. Every little bit you can do helps to broaden the audience of this show. So let's keep it up and let's take it to the next level. But now let's get on with the show. So today's show, literally the topic changed midweek. I had a show idea that I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to postpone it. The reason for that is I was looking at the news, and there is a lot of political news out there. But the problem is there's a lot of paranormal and a lot of general current events, news stories that I believe my listeners would enjoy to hear. What I did is I chose a couple of topics. The topics I chose, based upon kind of last week's episode, kind of piggybacks those. Both are political in nature. One of them you may have heard from or heard about. The other one you may not have. Both of them are ridiculous. And both stories epitomize exactly what the left is all about. So sit back, relax, and prepare to learn what the left has in store for us. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. The upcoming segment of the Paranormal Patriot is being brought to you by Open Secrets. .org. Dear listeners of mine, you have got to try out this website. If you have a politician that you're looking at and you're wondering why this politician votes the way that they do, it's a simple way to find out. Go to opensecrets.org, type in that politician's name, and basically find out who that politician is beholden to. Opensecrets.org will give you the business, the organizations, whoever contributed to that person's election. At that point, you can cross-reference every business, every organization that contributed to that election fund and see how that politician votes. The saying goes, if you want the truth, follow the money. Well, this is the easiest way to follow the money. You don't like a politician or you're just curious as to why they voted the way they did? Well, now you can see if their vote benefits somebody that contributed to their campaign. This is a great way to root out the corruption in Washington and in our state governments. So you need to go to opensecrets.org and you need to start your own movement. Find out who your local politicians really serve. All you need to do is go to opensecrets.org. Alrighty, thank you to opensecrets.org for your support and sponsorship of this show. Please, you guys really need to go to opensecrets.org. It is eye-opening, to say the least. So let's get on with the show. So, as I said, most of you have heard this story coming out of Iowa about the Iowa high school students who were forced to apologize for wearing the red, white, and blue to a high school basketball game. Now, as the story goes, the Valley High School students' USA attire was deemed offensive because some were offended because some of the players on the Des Moines North High School team were from refugee families. Now, the students argued that the USA attire that was worn had been worn at previous games and was not meant to make a statement to the rival team. Now, Valley High's coach, now keep in mind, this is the coach for the team that the students were wearing the USA attire. His name is Morgan Wheat. Coach Morgan Wheat stated, any normal person, any educated person can look at that and think, what in the hell are these kids thinking? Now, the Des Moines North coach, Chad Ryan, who was the opposing team's coach, he seemed a little more level-headed about the issue, however. He said he didn't think it was fair to assume that the Valley players were trying to make a political statement towards his players. Don't you think it's funny how the coach of the offended team seems to be less concerned about this than the coach of the team that has seen this attire at games before? Now, let's objectively look at this picture. You've got the Valley coach, the coach of the students whose school these students go to. He is out there chastising these kids, asking what the hell they're doing. Although he has seen them, he should have seen them wearing this attire before. What do you think? What side of the fence do you think this guy falls on? The opposing team's coach, Chad Ryan, the coach for Des Moines North, more level-headed, says, I'm going to wait to reserve judgment on these kids until I hear the facts. What side of the fence do you think he resides on? Now, the most obvious statement regarding this whole issue is, why is this an issue? The reason I ask that is the offending team was not offended. It was one or two parents that created a fuss. One or two parents that said, this team has refugees families. Some of these players have refugee families, and they're wearing an American flag on their shirt. They're wearing the red, white, and blue. That's offensive to those kids. Even though those kids were not offended, the parents took it upon themselves to be offended for them. And wasn't that nice of them? the media then heard this story and picked it up and ran with it to create a national story. Now, this would be a story if those kids who were in the stands were yelling, USA, USA, go back, you refugees. I could see that. But everybody's glossing over the fact that these kids were wearing USA shirts, red, white, and blue shirts, in games prior to this. But because there were a couple of parents in the stands that game that took offense to it, even though the other teams didn't, now it becomes a national story. The crying grew so loud that the Valley High student leaders were forced to apologize to Des Moines North High last week. The following statement is from the Valley High student leaders to the Des Moines North High School. It goes as follows. It has been brought to our attention that the decision by the Valley High School student section to wear USA apparel at our game last night was offensive to members of your community and fan base. We are deeply sorry if we have offended anyone in any way. We have traditionally dressed in such a fashion for great games such as the one last night. Everyone here at Valley has immense respect not only for your team and players, but for your community as a whole. Please know that it was not our intent in any way to offend or demean, just to support our team in a way we have done before. This is a joke. In this letter to Des Moines High North, they basically said, look, shut up. We've done this before. It wasn't meant as a political statement. Quit your whining. Which it should have. That's how it should have been stated. Just because you have parents in your stands that came to the one game that they saw where we're wearing USA attire, now they're offended. But did anybody ask, have they wore this before? No. Why would they do that? They're going to be offended at this incident and then turn it into a national story. But again, Chad Ryan, the coach of the Des Moines North High School team, seemed to have the most sense of everyone in this whole charade, as he concluded by saying, look, I don't want to judge the young people not knowing their motives. We're proud of our diversity at North High School, not only on our basketball team, but our population. And he's absolutely right. These parents, these people who were offended by seeing students supporting their country, wearing the flag of the United States, they were offended by it, not knowing the history behind it. It took the coach of that team to say, hold on. Let's not judge these kids. Regardless, though, this is a travesty. This is ridiculousness at its crescendo. In no way, shape, or form should these students have had to apologize. There's no way they should have to apologize at all. This is a result of the left's political correctness. The left feeling and being offended. This is what happens when one becomes offended. You have one person, one parent, one child, anybody that's offended, and they say to the next person, that offends me. You know what? That offends me too. I never thought about it. I never saw it that way. But now that you put it out there, yeah, that's pretty offensive. So then it just grows. It's like a cancerous tumor. It just grows and it spreads. And that's what's going on in this country. Now, the following commentary I'm going to give you is going to piggyback the stories that I talked about last week. Now, regardless how preposterous the complaint is, they're wearing the red, white, and blue. They're wearing the flag of the country they love, of the country they grew up in. The left have mastered the art of blowing things out of proportion. They cry, they scream, they moan until people begin to listen. Because honestly, we have no choice. They've mastered this. They are like Zamfir's the master of the pan flute. The Democrats are masters of whining and crying. Nobody does it better. They do it until you say, just shut. If you shut up, I'll listen. But please just shut up. So we're forced to listen. As it was in this case, the right in this country has just rolled over and accepted their fate. They have rolled over and said, well, maybe those kids were wrong, without looking at the facts. Because that's what the right in this country has done. We've put Donald Trump in office. What more do you want us to do? As I said last week, your job ain't done. We still have a lot of work to do. Because the left is hell-bent on transforming this country into a multicultural nation that cannot show its feelings or its beliefs if they differ from those on the left. In other words, if you don't agree with what a liberal Democrat, a socialist, a communist thinks, they will shout you down. And why not? It works. They've proven it works. This issue in Iowa highlights the left's hatred for this country as it sits right now. As it sits, if you are white, Christian, conservative, pro-life, and pro-Trump, according to the left, you have no place in this country. We on the right, we conservatives, we need to realize that contrary to what the Democrats say, the conservative values are the majority in this country. The left is well on their way to change this country. Our beliefs and values, though, are consistent with the majority of it, but we're allowing the left to transform this country. Even though you look at the electoral map, the latest electoral map is overwhelmingly red. Most people believe in God. Most people believe in the Bible. Most people believe in less government. Most people say, get out of my life. But the problem is, we don't voice our opinion while the minority does. That's why 0.2% of the population now has access to a bathroom that they shouldn't have access to. 0.2% of the population is transgender. 0.2. The rest of the 99.2% let it happen. And the reason why is the 0.2% spoke the loudest. They spoke louder than 99.8% of the country. How horrible is that? 0.2% of the people spoke louder than 99.8%. That's laziness, but that's what's happening. We need to realize that the left is well on their way to changing this country. It is not going to be for the good. If you're a liberal, you're going to say, oh yeah, this is great. But if you're all for having your rights, if you're all for smaller government, if you're all for controlling your own destiny, instead of having the government do it for you, this isn't good. And now, it is apparently racist and offensive to show patriotism. It would be one thing if this was the first time these students wore the USA attire at this game, when they know that some of the players were from refugee families. That would be a different story. I might actually have had a different vibe to this segment. But that's not the case. They've done it in the past. This wasn't secluded and wasn't targeted to that school. This was a common occurrence. The team's coach, Valley High's coach, should have known better than to chastise these students without knowing the facts. And in contrast, the North High School coach deserves credit for reserving judgment, something everybody can learn to do. And there are a lot of people that can learn from that. Too many people are quick to jump on their platform and start trouble before they know the facts. Most of those people reside on the left-hand side of the aisle. It is appalling how far we have let this country fall, in my opinion. It's horrible. When did that become offensive? When is a patriotic person looked at as offensive? You have to ask yourself and be honest. Can we as a nation come back from this? Can we come back to where we once were? It's an uphill climb because the left has all the momentum, which is infuriating because they shouldn't have any. They've lost the executive office. They've lost the Senate. They've lost the Congress. They have no power, but yet they're calling the shots. And it's because not enough of us are out here stirring the pot. They can stir it. Well, let's stir our own pot. I'm going to make a prediction, and I want you to hear this. And when it comes to fruition, I want you to say, oh, my Lord, I heard about that on the Paranormal Patriot, and he was right. Again, mark my words and know that you heard it here first on the Paranormal Patriot, but there will come a time, and I believe that time is going to come very soon, maybe as we celebrate this year, when it will be offensive to celebrate the 4th of July, to celebrate our nation's independence. Now, you may laugh, but look at how things are unfolding right now. Our country is being overrun by people who have come here illegally, that have broke the law to enter our country, and we are affording them more rights than we are affording the citizens of this country. Refugees are of more concern to many in this country than our veterans, our children, and our homeless. The media has picked its side and is doing everything they can to manipulate what we hear and what we should believe. And we all know that our government is spying on us using any means necessary while we sit back and continue to allow it. An assault on patriotism is in full swing. If you don't support illegal immigrants, if you don't support refugees over the citizens of this country, you're on the wrong side of the fence. It is offensive to wear a flag on our shirt. It is offensive to wear red, white, and blue. Why? Because it may offend somebody who's not legally supposed to be in this country. It's coming. It's not going to be Independence Day anymore. They're going to change the name to Everybody Day or America the Beautiful Day. And you're not going to wave your American flags because it's going to be offensive. You're going to offend people. It's an epidemic. I was worried about Ebola. We have a much greater, much more deadly disease out there. And that's called offended. If you're offended, you apparently get to call the shots. But if you're a conservative, you have no right to be offended. If you're white, if you're pro-life, pro-Trump, you cannot be offended. So therefore, you don't get to call the shots. And we're letting them do it. Do you realize how infuriating that is for somebody like me who sits here every week and preaches how important it is to keep our values, to not to not submit to their will. Do you know how upset I get to see everybody just say, what are you going to do? You can't beat them. Let's just hope they shut up. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to shut up. Why should they? They've learned. They've seen. Hey, the louder I yell, the better results I get. So they just keep yelling louder. And we keep cowering back farther and farther into the corner. Please don't yell anymore. Just do it. Just go ahead. Make that bathroom transgender. I don't care. We're wimps. We need to go to the gym. We need to bulk up. We need to fight back. I don't know where to go from here. We are losing our country. We just need to stand up and make our voices heard. But we need to do it before it's too late. But right now, the ridiculousness continues. If you've listened to this show for the last couple years, you have known that I have been saying for years how our education system is in serious, serious trouble. Our children are not being taught in school. They are being indoctrinated. The schools have become a liberal playground hell-bent on producing children who will turn into the next generation of snowflakes. That's what their goal is. I thought it couldn't get any worse until I saw an article regarding prospective teachers in New York. And this is the one you may not have heard of. And when you heard this, or when you hear this, know this is absolutely 110% true. This is coming from the Associated Press. This is verified by myself. And this is beyond ridiculous. So with all respect due to my listeners in New York, I just want to say it does not surprise me that this story comes out of that liberal cesspool of a state. Now, again, this was reported, as reported by the Associated Press. The headline is, prospective teachers in New York will no longer have to pass a basic reading and writing literacy exam. That's right. You heard it right. Teachers in New York have been given an exemption to the basics of our language. Now, while that is beyond the what the you-know-what factor, it is the reasoning behind the State Board of Regents' decision that brings it full circle. The Board of Regents decided to ditch the academic skills test in part because Black and Hispanic candidates struggled to pass the exam. Just 41% of Black and 46% of Hispanic teaching candidates passed the test on their first try, as compared to 64% of white candidates. The National Council on Teaching Quality found that 44% of teaching programs cannot ensure that most of the incoming candidates are among the top half of college students. In other words, less than half of the teachers that we are paying to prepare our children for college are not capable of doing so. They can't pass a basic literacy test. A state task force recommended to the board to scrap the test because of the number of Black and Hispanics struggling to pass it. Now, Leslie Sudak, who is a Pace University professor, told the AP, "We want high standards, of course, but having a white workforce doesn't match our student body anymore." So, with that comment in mind, instead of taking the most qualified individual, who may be white, New York has decided to dumb down their teachers to promote diversity in their classroom. It appears that diversity is more important than preparing our children for their future. Now, Kate Walsh, who is the president of the National Council on Teacher Quality, said that the reason that Blacks and Latinos don't score as well as whites on the literacy test is because of various factors like poverty and the legacy of racism. Walsh said that it is a symptom on other standardized tests as well. There is not a test in the country that doesn't have disproportionate performance on the part of blacks and Latinos, Walsh said. In implementing the exams, she added, New York has become light years ahead of other states. New York has put together a suite of testing products that really got at the lack of rigor in teacher prep. So there it is. It's not the blacks or the Hispanics' fault that they're failing these tests. It's the lack of teacher prep. How does that make you feel, all of my teachers out there? You're not doing your job. Oh, God, no. It couldn't be, because these students would rather go out gangbanging, dancing, doing anything, doing drugs, anything other than studying. It couldn't be that. God, no. It's the teacher prep. It's the lack thereof. It's the racism. Racism is causing these kids to not perform well, even though they're going to a predominantly minority school with predominantly minority teachers. It's the test that's racist. I'm so tired of hearing that. It has nothing to do with racism. It has everything to do with how well you study. Tell that to the black and Hispanic children who grew up in poverty that went to Harvard. How did they get by? Are they just a fluke of nature? No. They said, I'm better than this. I'm going to make something of myself. And they studied. And they did well on these tests. And therefore, they moved on and improved their lot in life. But unfortunately, the left, the media, is positioning these kids to think, you don't even need to try because there's no point, because the world, this country, it's racist. No matter what you do, you're not going to get ahead. So you might as well go gangbang. You might as well sell drugs, because that's all you're going to be good for. That's exactly what the media and the liberals are saying here. In this day and age, where no matter how poorly you performed, that you're equal to others that performed much better, this has transcended into our education system. So in other words, you know what? You got an F on that test there, but Sally over here, she got an A. But you know what? Everybody's equal. Everybody's the same. What? You didn't study? What, Sally? You studied for 5 hours? It doesn't matter, Sally. Johnny over here, he's just as good as you are. So therefore, everybody gets an A. That's the mentality in the schools nowadays. This is the everybody gets a trophy mentality. My kids play sports. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But no matter how they finish out the season, regardless of whether they won all their games or whether they lost all their games, they get a medal. They get a trophy. It's called participation. You participated. Good job. You didn't do well, but good job. You have to ask yourself, how does that translate as they grow into an adult? It doesn't translate well, because these kids are being predispositioned to think, I participated, I get something. This is why you have the millennials out in force protesting, because their mentality that has been brainwashed in them since birth is, I voted. I didn't get what I want. Wait a minute. I didn't get my medal. I didn't get my trophy. I'm going to cry. I'm going to protest. I'm going to riot. This is the everybody gets a trophy mentality, and that's what we're putting into our schools. Our country is falling far behind the rest of the world in terms of education. Do we really want teachers who can't grasp the basics, of literacy to educate our children? What could they possibly learn from their teacher if their teacher has the equivalent of a fifth, sixth, or seventh grade education? At this point, if you're a senior, you're probably going to be smarter than your teacher. Are we going to sit by and let this occur, or are we going to stand up and say no? Because our children are involved. Because it seems like when our children are involved, we seem to get a little bit more vocal. Well, we definitely need to get vocal here. I know I have a lot of listeners that are probably my age. I'm about 45 years old. And I know when I was in school, if you failed a test, you failed a test. There wasn't makeup homework. If you didn't turn in your assignment on the day it was due, you didn't get credit for it. You didn't get a second chance test. You didn't get an open book test. You had to study for your test. And most of all, we had homework every day of the week. I look at my kids now. They didn't turn in an assignment. Oh, man, I missed that assignment. But I can still turn it in 3 months after and still get credit for it. So my E turns into a C. Oh, I didn't do well on that test. Teacher, can I retake that? Sure. Why don't you open your book? That way you know the answers. Hey, you got a B on an open book test that gives you all the answers. So therefore, your E is now a C. You've passed. Congratulations. School today is completely different from when I grew up. When I grew up, if you failed, you failed. You didn't go on to the next grade. All your friends may have completed the journey and graduated. You didn't. You're the fifth year senior, which sounds good in college if you're on an athletic scholarship, but in high school, not so well. Things happen though. But in this day and age, everybody graduates. I know kids that have no business graduating. Hell, they can't complete an articulate sentence, but they're graduating. And these are our future leaders. And it's because our education system is completely ruined. We're letting teachers that have no business being in the classroom teach our kids. I've heard some of these teachers talk. Double negatives? Hell, some of them I think are using Ebonics. And they're teaching our kids. Don't think this is going to stop in New York. Most liberal cities are going to see this and follow through with their plans. They're going to say, hey, that's a good idea. New York's got a great idea. Let's go ahead and do that for our teachers. Let's make it a level playing field because everybody's equal. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I had an argument yesterday with somebody that said, hey, our Constitution, which you seem to love so much, says everybody's created equal. Exactly. Everybody's created equal. It's what you do after your creation that differentiates how you turn out in life. If you want to just skate by, fine. If you want to work hard, good for you. But for those of you who skate by, you shouldn't get the same benefits of those who work hard. Simple. I pray that our school system, where my kids go to school, do not implement this. But our school system, I believe, as most of them out there, are run by liberals. So they're going to look at this and say, that's a great idea. We're never going to have a teacher shortage again. We'll just take that guy off the street. Hey, give me a sentence. Close enough. Come on, let's teach third grade. You're good at it. God help our children. They're going to be so, so unprepared. And trust me when I say this is only going to get worse. It's going to spread like an epidemic throughout this country. So keep looking in the news. See what your Department of Education, see what your school board is starting to implement, and get involved. This is your children's lives, for God's sake. So lastly, on this show, I'm going to introduce a new segment. It will be a quick segment that I'd like to do every week, but for me to do it every week, I'm going to need my listeners' help. Now, this is a segment that is inspired by Rachel Maddow's epic fail regarding Trump's tax return this week. I would like to introduce a weekly award to the newscaster, journalist, celebrity, whoever makes a complete fool of themselves by distorting the truth and perpetuating lies. Amy Schumer, Rachel Maddow, I mean, the list goes on and on. First of all, I need a name for this award. So I need my listeners to come to get their creative thinking caps on and come up with a name that I can give this award. And then after that, and this is where your homework comes in, every week I need some of my listeners to nominate somebody to win this award. If I nominate the person you nominated, or if I give the award to somebody you nominated, you get kudos on this show. Woohoo! It can be a liberal, it can be a Republican, or anyone for that matter. Just someone who has failed as miserably as Rachel Maddow. So does it not surprise you that the inaugural winner of this award, this yet named award, is MSNBC's Rachel Maddow? Now, Rachel won this award because she was giddy with glee an hour before her 9 p.m. broadcast on NBC tweeting, "We have Donald Trump's tax returns." Well, millions tuned in to hear what many perceived to be a disastrous result for Trump. 20 minutes into her show, there was still nothing. She was talking about the Russian connection with Trump, which has not been proven and for all accounts been dismissed. 30 minutes went on and still nothing. And then the fun started. 30 minutes into the show, after a huge, huge buildup, people are starting to wonder what the hell is going on. And then the tweets started coming. And I've got a couple tweets here for you. TJ Quinn from ESPN. "Why won't Rachel Maddow release Donald Trump's tax returns? What is she hiding?" And it went on from there. People were getting infuriated with Rachel Maddow because she just wouldn't talk about it. Maggie Haberman, "Haven't seen this much windup since El Duque." And if you're a baseball fan, you know what I'm talking about. And then let's see, what do we got else? We've got breaking from Mark Dice, at Mark Dice. "Breaking, Trump just released his 2005 tax returns, trumping Rachel Maddow exclusive. Ha ha, another fail by the liberal media." Yes, she postponed it. She just completely sat on it so long that Trump said, "Just release them," before she did. Trump trumped her exclusive story. Sam Adams, at Samuel A. Adams. "Rachel Maddow announces she will release Donald Trump's tax records as a 10-episode Netflix series." Bill Moran, at Bill Moran, writes, "Breaking, Rachel Maddow provides 12-year outdated tax returns. Like, is her audience H&R Block representatives? Only a scoop to them. Lane." Nick Bilton, at Nick Bilton, "Breaking, Rachel Maddow has been saying absolutely nothing on MSNBC while we all die a little inside." Greg Gutfeld, at Greg Gutfeld, "I think Maddow's staff lost the tax return." Oh, let's see. And let's see. Dev Vieja at D Vieja. Vieja, I think it is. Take your time, Rachel Maddow. I've got lots of popcorn. And then the best one, at Todd Starnes. Tomorrow on MSNBC, at Maddow will open Capone's vaults. And that is in reference to Al Capone's vaults that everybody that grew up in the 80s and 90s watched as Geraldo Rivera found two broken wine bottles. So millions turned in to see that. Over three quarters of the show was wasted on Donald Trump's alleged ties to the Russian to the Russians. Well, she finally got to the tax return. Okay, that was a 2005 1040. And in it, it showed Trump has paid $38 million in taxes to the government, which is a tax rate of 25%. And oh, by the way, looking at what Obama paid, 18%. And the common man's man, Bernie Sanders, he only paid in 13%. How many of you would like to only pay in 13%? Mr. I care about the common man is milking or bilking his taxes. Donald Trump pays 25%. Bernie pays 13%. The whole thing was a complete failure. It almost seemed as if she didn't look at the returns before she tweeted the giddy, we have Donald Trump's tax returns. Tune in at 9 o'clock. You got to see this. It's like she didn't look at them. She just, oh my God, these are Donald Trump's tax returns. Tweet. And then she read it and she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. We're screwed. What are we going to do? Talk about the Russians. Miss Maddow, you tweeted that we're going to talk about Trump's tax records, so you're going to have to do it. We'll do it 5 minutes before the show ends. Just keep going with the Russians. She was banking on Hillary's statement that he avoided paying taxes, but instead it showed that he paid more than Obama, Bernie, and MSNBC. Oh, there's a little irony. Great journalism, Rachel. And with that, you earn our first ever award. Again, I need a name for it. Please send me some names. Send me some nominees for next week. But now I want to get real quick into some of that tax info. We all know the friend I work with that is a complete conservative. And I was talking to him about it. And I'm like, oh, so Trump's tax returns came out. Paid $38 million, 25%. Whoa. That's only his 1040. That's all we got was his 1040 from 2005. Okay. So do you want his other taxes to show that he paid more? Because at this rate, he's paying taxes. He has completely debunked Hillary's claim that he paid nothing in taxes. He paid more than Obama. He paid more than MSNBC. And he paid more than everybody's hero, Bernie Sanders. Double more than what Bernie Sanders paid. Tom, it's not legit. We don't know what's on those other tax returns. If it shows he paid $38 million on a 1040 in 2005. What do you think the other ones are going to show? Do you think they're going to show, oh, I'm not paying any more now. I paid $38 million. No. The guy pays his taxes. Accept it. You lost this round. Keep fighting. It's funny because everything you claim Donald Trump is come to find out he's not. He's not a racist, he's not a sexist, he's not a tax dodger, he's not a KKK member. He's not an anti-Semite. What are we going to move on to next? He's not a Russian spy. It is infuriating to see the libs just, their heads are exploding because they can't do anything to pin on Donald Trump. And they're just sticking to this. We haven't seen his 10. That's just his 1040. Just his 1040. There's other tax returns out there. Okay. So what are we going to do? We're going to show that he paid more in taxes? How much more do you want this guy to show that he paid? Because that's all they're going to do. Like it or not, I know you don't like Donald Trump. I know you don't like the fact that he's our president. But you've got to accept the fact that A, he is our president, and B, you have nothing on him. And the last point I want to make on this is it's illegal to produce or make public anyone's tax returns without their acknowledgement, without their agreement, without their permission. So this Pulitzer Prize writer that Rachel Maddow was so enamored with, and Rachel Maddow in general, how many years are they going to get in prison? Because that's a federal offense. But nobody seems to want to talk about that. It's just tax returns. He should have released them anyway. Okay. As of now, he's under audit. He cannot legally release his tax returns while he is under audit. Sorry. Sorry, libs. But you collected 2005 tax returns. Fine. Fine. They were placed in your mailbox. Because that always happens. I always have somebody else's tax returns placed in my mailbox so I can talk on this show about them. It happens. No, it doesn't. I never get confidential information from another person put in my mailbox. Nor does anybody else, Rachel. Come up with a better story. You thought you had the career-changing story. Oh my God, this will make me the most popular anchor out there. You just made a complete fool of yourself. Because you were more concerned about bringing down the president of the United States than you were about actually reading what this person gave you. I think it's hilarious, and it couldn't happen to a better person. So Rachel Maddow, please accept the Paranormal Patriots gift of this award to you. I will name the award after my listeners decide what they want. And that's where you come in. I need you guys to email me, theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. You can send me a Twitter post or a tweet, I think they're called tweet. Yeah, sure. Send me a tweet with your recommendation on the name of the award at The Para Patriot, or you can go on my Facebook site, The Paranormal Patriot, and send me something that I can name this thing. Also, I need your nominations. Every week, you've got homework. You're a listener of the show. I'm not letting you off easy. I need your help. Give me some type of nomination for the most ridiculous individual of the week. Send it to theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com, @theparapatriot, theparanormalpatriotonminds.com, or you can reach me on The Paranormal Patriot on Facebook. But lastly, listen, I've mentioned for the last couple weeks, the show has been growing. We are in a huge growth spurt. And I'm going to take a page out of the Mysteries of Michigan growth chart and do what I did to make Mysteries of Michigan grow. We are at a very opportune time to grow this show beyond what Mysteries of Michigan was. But I need your help. I need you to share the show. But also, if you listen on a regular basis, I need to know, what platform do you listen to my show on? Do you listen on Podbean? Do you listen on iTunes? Do you listen on Stitcher? Do you listen to Podcast Addict? Where do you listen to my show? I need to know where to focus my energy to get the best results to grow the show. So I'm sorry to do this to you. We just had this conversation. I'm giving you a lot of homework. I need a name for the award we're going to hand out every week. I need your nomination for the worst performance, the most ridiculous performance of the week, and I need to know where you listen to the Paranormal Patriot, but I also need you to share the living daylights out of this show. All you got to do is hit the share button and just type in, hey, I love this show, listen to it. That's all I need you to do. And then I'm happy. I don't feel good, so you need to make me happy, please. Alrighty, everybody. That is the show for the week. I appreciate you listening. I made it through the show. Thank God. Let me know what you think about the state of New York's decision on eliminating the basic literacy test for incoming teachers. Let me know what you think on the apology issued by the student leaders at Valley High School to the students and school of Des Moines North High School in Iowa. Was that appropriate? Did it need to be done? But most importantly, share the show. Tell your friends about the show. Let me know where you listen to the show. Give me a name for the award and also your nomination for the award this week. As always, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, the bottom of my soul for listening. Trust me when I say this show is nothing without my listeners. Contact me, just say hi. I love hearing from my listeners. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and I will talk to you next week.